Hey, did you guys hear about that new birth control pill for men?
No.
Not, no.
Yeah, you put it in your shoe and it makes you limp. What? We can say that. It's a podcast.
Yeah,
but should we? But
the little kid, the littler kids will be like, I don't get it.
Don't worry about it. Come back in 10 years.
We love kids who want to know cybersecurity. They can listen in.
Hey guys, what's up?
Hey, how's it going?
It's cold enough for you? Outside.
It's getting there.
It's getting there. It's getting there.
Actually, today it's like 50 out here.
Yeah, but it's but Saturday when this episode drops, look out. So does the temperature.
Oh, is it going to be that bad?
Yeah, and I have a gig on Saturday, and it's going to be 18 freaking degrees Fahrenheit.
Oh my God, that's awesome. Ooh. We're going to be one here.
Wow. I guess I get the coastal breezes, you know. That
Ron White said that he was in a place where the temperature was zero, and someone said, what's the temperature? He said, there isn't any.
That's funny.
That skit was awesome by him.
Believe it or not, I actually have something to report from the field today. I have an iPhone. You guys have iPhones?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well,
maybe.
Okay. Oh, my God.
Yeah, we did. We
Pat.
Maybe.
Who's asking?
Yeah.
The spam calls have been out off the hook crazy.
Yeah.
And this is the ongoing saga of Carl's getting spammed constantly. So,
well, you keep blocking the number when I call.
So now I'm getting calls from fake contacts.
Wow.
Have you guys seen this?
I've not.
No.
No.
Yeah. So it would be like, you know, some made up name, but instead of just a number, it would be a name.
Wow.
And somehow the spam callers are getting around the fact that you don't have their names in your and so if you're like me and you got 4,000 names in your contact list, you know, you see this thing and it's, you know.
Oh, it's Bill Johnson.
Yeah, right. From
sure, Bill.
Raleigh, North Carolina. It's like, well, I know people in Raleigh. Maybe I took this person's phone, whatever.
Yeah.
And I answer it and it's like, did you know your car warranty is about to expire? Good God, they'll stop at nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's because some...
What idiot says, hey, you know, I need a new warranty on my car.
It's a numbers game. It's a numbers game. There are people, they wouldn't keep doing it. There are people who say, well, yeah, maybe I should do this. And they say yes, and they give them money, and that's what propagates it.
Man, it's unbelievable. Don't do that, people.
Yes.
Don't feed the trolls.
They're not listening to security podcasts.
Yeah, right, exactly. All right, we have quite a few stories here. Dwayne, what do you want to lead off with?
Let's start off with infecting yourself.
Yeah. Hoisted by your own petard.
Okay, Patrick, what's the etymology of petard?
I believe a petard is a sword.
Yeah, it's a military term, isn't
yes.
it?
Hoisted
yeah, that's why I turned petard. To our military consultant.
I believe it's a sword, and you are hoisted on it. It means you end up getting impaled on your own sword.
Right.
Oh.
So, but of course it became an innuendo, you know, hoisted by your own petard.
Yeah.
Wait, is that possible?
I don't think you could do it, but...
Everything changes to innuendo in Carl's mind.
That's right, yeah. Especially with swords and petards.
So this is a common thing that happens to script kiddies. People who aren't not...
So I would even venture to say more seasoned people as well. But continue.
Oh, yeah. I'm terrified when we're working with ransomware that I'm going to screw up and infect myself or infect our systems.
Yes.
That's why I always go to Carl's house to do it.
That makes. I send it to Carl. Hey, could you test this out for me? Just click on it. So this one was interesting because it's a Indian-linked cyber espionage group. And they have a whole bunch of names, Patchwork, Dropping Elephant, China Straits, Quilted Tiger, depending on who finds them doing what.
And now we have their real names.
Right, right. So what's interesting is Malwarebytes, and I want to bring this topic up too as to how legal this is, but Malwarebytes somehow gained access to the command and control structure for a rat. So a remote access Trojan that this group has been using and sending out to people. So for those of you who haven't been following, a rat, you know, someone sends out a Word document or an email or whatever, and you double click on something and it installs a piece of software on your computer that's constantly listening and reporting screenshots and your keystrokes and all your passwords and that sort of stuff.
Hmm.
So let's say you're developing a new rat, like we're all wanting to do, and you're testing it out. Who do you test it on?
Carl.
Of course.
Right? As a developer, if you're building a new website, where do you build it? You're like, oh, I just built it on my local box and I was testing it. The classic paradigm of it works on the developer's box, but nowhere else. They did the same thing. They decided to build a rat and they said, you know what? We'll test it out. Make sure it works. And they did that. And yeah, worked great. And they sent it out to all sorts of people to steal all sorts of things. And then Malwarebytes found out, hey, you know, the first people in that database are those guys.
Yeah.
So they grabbed all of their information and keylogs and screenshots. And
wow. So they didn't reset the database after that.
No, no. And that's classic. I've actually heard this story multiple times. Not about this particular group, but over the years, big ransomware command and control structures. And then somebody, you get into them and then in there, the first record is usually the developers themselves.
So what's the career advice for the criminals listening? Make sure you cover your tracks.
Right, right. Always reset your database when it goes to production.
Don't give them advice. Turn yourself in.
We have more advice later on.
Yeah, turn yourself in.
Go outside and pose for a satellite photo.
So it's interesting that I always wonder the legality of like Malwarebytes lab threat intelligence team got onto the command and control structures, which are clearly not their servers.
Mm.
Now, I get it. They're doing nefarious things and that sort of stuff. But
I thought Malwarebytes is one of the good guys. I've always used
them. They are. Oh, absolutely.
They are. Yeah. So we don't know what they're, I mean, it could be that they're working in conjunction with law enforcement. It could be that they're, that they've, you know, found a way, a loophole where because the server communicated to them that they're allowed to communicate back. Who knows?
Maybe.
There's also different laws in different jurisdictions. Yeah. I say power to them. I think there should be, I'm a proponent of hackback, but it's not, essentially hackback's not legal.
Right. Right. No, I agree. And because it's so easy to find attribution, like who did it? So if you have the rat installed locally on a VM, like Malwarebytes probably does because they're trying to figure out what it does.
Yeah.
There's no guess game as to who it's talking to.
It's like being slapped back by Sidney Poitier in the heat of the night. To be topical.
A moment of silence, please.
You slap me? I slap you. Yeah, definitely. He was the best.
All right, favorite movie with Sidney Poitier?
Heat of the Night.
Heat of the Night, Patrick?
Yeah.
Oh, come on, people. Sneakers.
Oh, well,
is he
okay.
In Sneakers?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm too old to remember
that. He was
the
CIA agent.
Of course, that's
Robert Redford.
Movie.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. All right, should we move on to more Log4j stuff?
Yeah, this is more of a... Hey, be careful out there. So most of you have probably heard about Log4j at this point. And if you haven't, well, you haven't been listening to this podcast. That's for sure. But there's a new ransomware, not new, actually, Night Sky ransomware gang's been around for a while. And they keep exploiting using whatever the latest thing is. And they're now started using Log4j, specifically targeted at VMware Horizon servers.
Okay.
So if you have a Horizon server and it's externally facing, just keep an eye, be careful, update those servers. VMware does have a workaround right now to shut down the Log4j vulnerability, but just keep an eye on it.
Has anybody else been sued since last week for
I think that was
patching?
A threat. I think
that was a threat. Yeah, not
that was
yet.
A warning.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody's actually gone to court, but it's basically they're trying to extend the, if you found out that, toasters were catching fire and burning down houses and you did nothing about it, you're culpable in the same way if you don't patch this.
Sure.
And I think they're trying to extend physical world liability in this way. And I think that's good. That's the only thing that's going to protect us.
Yeah.
Right. Right. I agree. 100%.
Cool, cool, cool.
All right. So this one isn't really pertinent unless you have those VMware Horizon servers.
And you're going to hear that a lot. There's going to be lots of that trickling out. Here's the lesson. And here's where I think Log4j is going to change the landscape in the long run. S-bombs, and that's not an explosive device, is a software bill of materials. And so right now, it's rare for any company to release their software bill of materials. In other words, divulging that they're using DevExpress tools, or they're using this control, or they're using this backend database, or they're using Log4j or any other modules. That's going to start becoming de rigueur. It's going to become a requirement. Oh, we're acquiring your software. Mm. If you don't provide an SBOM, we can't buy your software. And that's going to start happening with big banks and other companies that have realized, if we can't quickly identify what systems this thing is in, mm-hmm. we can't not waste time looking for it in places where it's not.
Yeah.
Right.
And so they're going to drive the market to track. And then what that leads is to a market where there'll be some software app where you load the SBOM, which I'm not sure if it's a standardized, I don't think there's a standard for it yet. Maybe it's an XML file into a database. And so the next time this comes up, you just do a search for, right. Oh, what Log4j, these five systems, these 15 solutions have it. Yep. Let's go test those. And then we're done.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's the good news, is it's going to make us better about figuring out what's actually running in our environments. Bad news is it's going to be painful for a lot of these vendors.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised that that's not a thing now. Because I think with open source software, and correct me if I'm wrong, like Carl, you probably know better with all the development work you've done. Like, I think you have to put in your license agreement if you're using open source, right? Isn't there?
You do, but it can be buried in your license agreement. It depends on whether it's, you know, GNU or what it is.
MIT.
MIT license.
Yeah. And those are, like, they're in there. It's just who reads the license agreement. But what we'll probably end up with is there'll be the README, the license agreement, and there'll be the SBOM. And when you download a patch, there'll give you an updated version of the SBOM, and you'll just import it into your tracking, your threat hunting system or whatever, or maybe it's an access database so that it's searchable. You can see if there's any new components.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll have to have the version so you can check the version again, exploit DB.
Right.
Yeah.
I think this is the beginning. We usually have to experience a tragedy before we can grow our security. Mm-hmm. And Log4j has caused enough pain that I think it'll move the needle in this regard. And if it doesn't, shame on us.
Right.
Yeah. No, I think it will. I think it absolutely will.
All right. Well, our next story comes from the Scooby-Doo department of teenagers outwitting geniuses like Elon Musk. I would have gotten away with it if it weren't for you meddling kids. Teen hacker claims to have control over 25 Teslas, can see drivers and unlock doors. 19-year-old IT specialist David Colombo.
I love how they say self-proclaimed.
Yes.
IT specialist.
An IT specialist. He claims to have found a security flaw in Tesla's systems and remotely gained access.
Yeah, so it's interesting. Colombo, which awesome last name, by the way.
Yeah, awesome.
But Colombo here says he has access to these Tesla systems and can see like the drivers through the internal camera, can see all the sensors, can see all sorts of information, lock the doors, unlock the doors, change the radio stations, all that stuff on 20-ish, 25 different Teslas in different countries all around the world.
Wow.
Now, this got brought to the news because he was posting on Twitter saying, oh my gosh, I have 20 Teslas that I have access to in 10 different countries. I really wish I could notify the owners, but there's no way for me to find them.
That's really cool. Twitter to the rescue,
Yeah. If you find yourself in a situation where you're controlling cars, SCADA systems, nuclear missiles, power grids, and you have no idea who to contact,
tweet it.
Maybe...
You'll get their attention. They'll be calling you soon.
So needless to say, Tesla actually does have an open bug bounty system where you can submit these things and
you just probably couldn't find
$5,000, $10,000. Yeah, and he's young and awesome. He probably has a very bright future in cybersecurity if at 19.
I was gonna say that maybe if Tesla's bug bounty page can't be found by an IT specialist, maybe they got other problems.
Right.
Hey, Elon, you need a redesign of that website? Yeah. Give me a call, man. I'm going to tweet that.
You should. You should. Clearly, it's too hard to find.
Clearly.
Well, this is a big concern. Everybody's worried about as we get more invasive technology, self-driving cars, the brakes and things like that, we got to do a better job. It's kind of like the autonomous vehicles. They've been actually Tesla has been one of the most, and I'll say this carefully, reckless companies when it comes to self-driving cars, because they keep pushing the envelope. And while that's good for the technology and the like figuring things out, it's bad for the technology in terms of perception of safety.
Right. Sure.
So, you know, I understand, but if a company goes out and does self-driving cars and kills 5,000 people, then it's going to set it back a 10 years before people accept the technology.
For everybody.
Security is the same way.
Yeah.
Which is odd, though, because if you think about it, if everybody was in a self-driving car, there would be less deaths.
Well, we believe that.
Right.
But there's
and statistically,
lots of people,
it looks like there would be.
I agree. Right? But a lot of people don't believe that yet because they're saying that, you know, a computer. Again, there's two sides to it. But we have to get the security right on things like medical devices and vehicles and power plants and things like that. And we're the latest news shows that we're behind the curve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dwayne, I'm going to tweet a picture of you and your Jolly Roger screensaver because that's awesome.
That's my you like my
yeah.
That's just to intimidate customers.
Yeah, it's great.
Who never visit his office,
right?
When you're on a conference call, they see that in the background.
He looks like a bomb maker in that.
Avast.
It's funny. I was actually on with a customer this week, and they were looking over here, and they're like, "I love how you have this whole soldering station and no vent fume hood. You just like." I was like, "Yeah, you know, it's best when I use lead solder, and I just give it a little lick first, just before."
Whereas I look like I'm writing the manifesto.
All right, what's all right. Next?
Next would be, this is an interesting one. This is Microsoft Defender, which we've all touted as a fantastic tool and does a great job and, you know, all that good stuff at finding malware. It says Microsoft Defender weakness lets hackers bypass malware detection.
Whoa.
Yeah, so this one's kind of cool. I know. Stop getting so excited. This was awesome.
It's awesome.
Which, in Dwayne speak, that means it's bad.
It's dangerous.
Exactly, right? I'm a child of the 80s.
Who likes sneakers.
Right. So what's really cool about this one is when you have Windows Defender, which is, you know, looking for malicious software and viruses and that sort of stuff, there are certain pieces of software you run that are false positive. So you open them up and Defender goes, whoa, I think this thing's trying to do something weird, right? And a lot of us go, oh, no, it's okay, Defender, don't worry about it. When you do that, it adds an exclusion in the registry of your computer to say, don't worry about this location. Don't worry about the D drive. Don't worry about right. D:\ this software or whatever. That's not a big deal. The big deal is that registry key is open to everyone to read. So if you're a malware guy.
Or girl.
And you're going to deploy malware, you just need to then go to this registry and go, where can I put it? You're not going to look. And Defender goes, oh, I'm not looking over there.
Wow.
And then you go, okay, cool.
Wow.
So it's kind of cool. There'll be a patch, I'm sure, that comes down that locks down that key.
So this is what happens when hippies write software, right? Because hippies are like, you know, peace and love and everybody's cool. And, right. You know, we just want to make everybody's life better.
Hey, yeah. Man, the cops are over there. You should party that way.
Wow.
Right.
That's pretty judgy. That's pretty judgy. Let he who has no bugs cast the first stone.
Yeah, okay.
I thought so.
Tongue firmly planted in cheek.
All right. Well, I mean, the good news is this will get fixed quick.
Sure. And it was found by a researcher, and it hasn't been seen. It's not like anybody's seen it actively in the field.
Right.
So
I bet it's fixed soon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Microsoft's really good about that. So this next article falls under career advice, Carl.
Okay.
You love the career advice to the general hacker.
That's right.
So just for all of you out there who like to buy and sell illegal credit card, stolen credit card numbers.
Right.
UniCC has decided to retire. They are one of the biggest sellers of stolen credit cards. They've made approximately $360 million, and they said, you know what? We're out. We're done.
Hey, quit while they're ahead.
So
right?
How does a website offer, what is that, add to cart? I mean, how does one do that?
And you know what's funny is this is very much like a Dread Pirate Roberts, because there was a company before them who did the same thing. And they made hundreds of millions of dollars, and they said, you know what, we're out. And that created this big vacuum. And UniCC went, we could
do
that. And they went in, and they made $400 million. And then Yeah.
I just don't understand how a company like that can operate legally and be in selling illegal wares without being arrested or shut down by the FBI or whatever.
Well, it's about finding them and what jurisdiction they're in and...
Yeah, and where they're running out of and whether they're running only on tour.
That is such bullcrap.
And the fact that they sold $358 million worth of stolen credit cards. That's not how much money was pulled off the credit cards.
Unbelievable.
That's
the, which is much more.
Yeah, you may buy you may buy a credit card for $10, right? For a stolen credit card and then be able to use it. But yeah. Wow. I believe they had more services. I think they sold the skimmers that you could use too, and they would actually print the cards for you if you wanted to, because they have Visa and MasterCard stock and that.
Unbelievable.
Sort of stuff. So it was a full service shop, but
wow.
But there'll be a void. So if anybody wants to spin up their own illegal credit card selling company, you know, you can pull away, about 300 and 400 million before you retire.
Okay.
Take about a year and a half.
Apparently, it's legal because they did it for so long. Or there must
be
loopholes.
No, that's not the lesson.
Must be loopholes there.
Before that, it was a company called Joker's Stash, and they retired too, and wealthy and rich, and handed it off to young Wesley.
Again, I think these companies will start getting caught a little more often as we see bigger players enter the field who really care and who have the ability. The problem is, if Dwayne and I decided that we wanted to go after these guys, we'd have to break the law to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're quite frankly not interested in jail. So yeah. if we had some way for us to contribute our services to work for the government to shut these things down, then we would. But currently nothing like that's emerged.
So this next story makes me really happy. It's from Objective-C, S-E-E, not the language Objective-C, the Mac malware of 2021. So these guys have put together a PDF file, which by itself is really dangerous to download a PDF file from the internet. And I'm wondering if that PDF file, which has the list of malware that's affected Macs, is actually containing malware. But because then it would be truth in advertising. It's like
I checked this link. This link is also in a newsletter from Sans Institute, and they do a pretty good job of testing.
Oh, good. Good. Because you know what's funny is you
sent
me this
article. I didn't find it in the dark web.
Yeah, you sent me this article, and I wouldn't click on that PDF.
Hell no,
I was like, that's nice. No.
But what makes me happy about it is that the acknowledgement that Macs get malware. Because
Macs
for so long.
What are you talking about?
Apple Mac users were so, had their noses held high at Windows users. Mm-hmm. You know, they looked down at us because we were ridden with malware. And Macs never get bugs.
Right.
Well, there was an incident years ago where Macs were starting to get malware and their support was denying it, even though they knew that was real.
I remember that.
And that gave them a little bit of a black eye. And then, you know, there have been bugs. Basically, Mac is Linux and there's been ways to exploit Mac. It's just they weren't a big enough part of the market.
That's right.
For a while. Yep. But now they are. They're fully part of the market. They don't get as much news cycles. They don't get as much attention because you don't get as many Windows 10, you know, bugs either. It's shifted from client to server.
I'll tell you what, man, at Windows 11 at the studio, my machine, I upgraded to Windows 11, having all sorts of USB problems. Like keyboard stops working. I pull it in another keyboard, USB keyboard. That doesn't work. You know, I put something else in the same USB port. It works just fine. Keyboards all of a sudden don't work. But I have a Bluetooth keyboard and that works fine. So you tell me what's going on there, Sparky.
You need a rubber ducky.
Yeah, I need something. I need a rubber truck.
A rubber ducky is a USB drive that looks like a keyboard, but it puts in malware.
Yeah, if somebody ever hands you a USB key and says, here, copy my file. So you're like, I'm sorry. All right, so moving on. Tell me about the Salesforce issue here. What is that all about from the record?
So it's a good news thing. So.
What?
It's requiring all users to use two multi-factor authentication.
We don't do good news.
Dwayne, this is not awesome, okay?
Yeah, I know. I'm so depressed right now.
As no bueno.
Fine. No, no bueno, Dwayne.
So, So what this story says is that starting next month, if you have a Salesforce account, you will be required to set up multi-factor authentication, which means you need an authenticator or some other, you know, way for them to go beyond just a password. And that's what we recommend to everybody for everything.
Yeah.
And it's the new normal. It's the new table stakes.
Yep.
You have to go there. It's not impregnable. There's still ways around it, but it's harder. It's much harder.
And I would say it's safer to do the sort of, rather than use an authenticator app, which could be hacked, right? Just do the regular text message, 2FA kind of.
Yeah, but your SIM can be hacked too. And your email can be hacked.
I'd like to say that the SIM being hacked is a higher barrier to entry. I mean, it's not like person of interest where you walk over and you go, boop, and clone someone's SIM. But unfortunately, you just call up a support tech and ask them to do it for
or
you.
Or at least you won't admit that you know how to do that.
I'm just saying it's harder than one button push.
So, two buttons. You got to hit two buttons.
Right.
In order. There's no absolute security. We've said that before. The security is a spectrum, and it doesn't go all the way to 11 or even to 10. You can get 99% secure, 99.999% secure. There's still a chance. There's still a problem somewhere. If you want your data to 100% secure, delete it.
Yep.
Yeah. And even then, even deleting it, it can be recovered.
Even then, it could be undeleted. Or better yet, don't ever create it. Yeah. What did we say? We found that you could recover data from a 32nd of an inch of a disk shard.
Oh yeah.
Of a sharded disk.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, it's not a lot of data, but it's still sectors.
But some data.
So I think it's good news. I think it's something other platforms should follow. It's a pain. And what do I always say?
Convenience
is the enemy of security.
Or more yeah, often it's security is the enemy of convenience.
No, this is not the convenience podcast.
Security convenience is the enemy of developers, that's for sure.
Yeah,
developers hate
job
security.
Job security.
Yeah, for you.
That is.
So this is good news.
Yeah, it is. All right, one last thing from CISA, CISA. It's an alert about understanding and mitigating Russian state-sponsored cyber threats to U.S. critical infrastructure.
I had to get Russia listed on a show. So
yeah, of course.
Not today, Russia. Not today.
Not my circus, not my monkey.
Again, it's an example of the U.S. government getting in the game and starting to, like, you know, play it.
Tomahawks.
Play it for real.
Tomahawks. How about
javelins? The new tomahawks. Javelins are good, too.
Tanks.
Oh, my God.
Okay. So what happens here?
So basically this is the government posting a document that says, Russia, we got our eye on you.
Yeah.
Warning people that critical infrastructure is more inbounds, it's not allowed, but it's where they're seeing more and more attacks in that regard. This also shows that Cyber Command and CISA are watching this.
Right.
And it shows it is more of a red line in what our policy is.
Yes.
Yeah. We're probably going to, I expect anyway, and you guys probably do too, that in 2022, we're probably going to see some serious action by the
some
US
retribution.
Government. Yeah. And we'll be waiting.
You know,
we'll be ready to report it.
I like extreme measures. I think if,
really?
if we trace an attack to a certain country and they're unwilling to prosecute and investigate or let us investigate, we should just cut them off the internet.
Wow.
For a week, you know, a week.
You don't own the internet.
The U.S. does.
It's for everybody, man.
Screw that, man. Screw that.
We're going to create our
Listen,
own
Listen, I
internet.
Want more connected things to the internet.
Okay. That's
I'm
nice.
Looking for more targets.
Go right ahead. We create our own internet.
Actually, Russia did that.
I'd like to apologize to all Russians listening.
Russia actually did shut themselves off from the internet for a number of hours to
was
test
it Russia
their
or China?
Own.
I can't remember.
It was Russia.
Might have
Russia. I think China's done something similar. They didn't actually disconnect. Because Russia was worried that part of the sanctions would be to kick them off the internet.
They wanted to see how it worked. Wow.
So they said, I don't mind. I like my room.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, exactly. That's the tough part. It's like, hey, I'm going to punch you in the face if you do this. I'm going to punch myself in the face. Like, okay.
When my oldest daughter was a kid, she was impossible to punish because if we sent her to her room, she'd just read.
Yeah.
And we were like, well, we can't take books away from her. That would be, that doesn't
yeah,
work.
Right? That
you
would be
must
very
watch television. Bad television.
Yeah, societies that took books away never are good.
So I guess we're going to, you know, talk about the rats, the rat race, and the rats are winning. So that'll be our title, hoisted by their own petard.
Yeah, hoisted on their own petard.
All right, guys, that's the show. All right. You got a plane to catch. So we'll
Yes, sir.
We'll see you next week.
Sounds undisclosed good. Location.
Right.
Skiff.
All right, see you later.
Bye. See you guys.
Bye.